Awesome. Hey, give them a hand. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Robbie, Misty, thank you for sharing that. That last picture of you, Robbie, something was different up here, wasn't it? Something was different up there. Oh, my goodness. It's our beginning of the launch day of our fall growth campaign, or the end of the summer growth campaign, whatever you call it. And it's been amazing. For the next 40 days, our church is growing closer together, and we want as many people that want to come be part of something great, we welcome you, and we want you here, and we are so glad that you're here. Today, we're starting a new sermon series about Are You Alive? And you see Alive up here in the corner. You see that? Lots of stuff going on. You see some shoes hanging up. That's because during this 40-day journey, we are collecting shoes to give to children and people and adults that need it in Haiti and Nicaragua. How awesome is that? So by the end of the 40 days, we're hoping to have shoes and shoes, and guess what? More shoes. And there's a lot of stuff going on. We want to help people, and that's what Life Community Church is all about, being a connecting, caring, and changing church. We want to help people and be a church that makes a difference. And man, it is so exciting for what God's doing. Part of our campaign, a big part of it, is our life groups of being together, connected together. So Wednesday night, we've got a whole brand new slew of life groups that are going to be coming up. It's going to be happening over at Hall Street Baptist and their facilities, and we're going to be having childcare available, and they're going to have kids class in their life group over there. Youth and kids are moving to Wednesday nights, and we're going to have a place for you. And then there's a Sunday morning life group that's going to start next week. So a lot of stuff. A big part of the campaign is, as I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, the groups are going to be studying what I'm preaching. We've got a book that you can get that goes with it for a 40-day journey that you read every day. You'll be getting those Wednesday night in the groups. So we want everybody to be unified. Amen, church? To be connected. Now, before I start getting with it today, all right? Everybody get your card out. Everybody get your card out. You're going to want to keep this in your lap the whole time today, all right? Now, if we want everybody to fill this out, every single person to fill it out. If you don't have an ink pen, reach down there. Just go ahead and reach on the side if there's a pen. Start passing ink pens around. Pass them out like crazy. I don't care if we get a single ink pen back in the tub. We just want people to fill cards out, right? There we go. Okay, so with that being said, are you ready for God's Word today? We are going to have a memory verse, and we are going to be learning this memory verse for 40 days. We're going to learn it, and if you got your sermon notes, I'm going to be preaching from this text today, but we have bolded our memory verse. Tanner, do you see the memory verse on the screen? Here we go, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Read it on your sheet, read it on the screen. You ready? Let's say it together. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. You ready? Here we go. Say it with me. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Now, you almost had it. So you know what that means? We got to do it again. All right, you ready? Let's say the address first. We'll say the verse, and we'll do the address again. You ready? All right, here we go. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. That's our memory verse. We're going to learn it every Sunday. We're going to learn it throughout the week. By the end of the 40 days, you are going to be able to quote that in your dreams. All right? So we're going to get that down for 40 days. We're talking about being alive. And I think about that, about life. One of the very first things about life that you got to have is a pulse. Everybody go ahead and try to find your pulse. Can you do that? Some of us have an easier time than that than others in your neck. If you don't have a pulse today, newsflash, you need to go to the doctor like ASAP, all right? Very, very important. See, a pulse is an indicator that you're alive. See, life has signs to it. We learn if we're alive through the signs. If you're breathing, if your heart's beating, and things like that, you are alive today. Now, if you don't have a pulse, the opposite of alive is what we call dead. I have a very special guest that's going to help me today. Guys, if you would bring him down this morning, if you would. A very, very special guest is coming to help me down the aisle here. He's helping me today. Because the reality is, if you don't have a pulse, guess what? You're dead. So I want you to meet my friend today. His name is Slim Bonesy, okay? Thank you, boys. This is Slim Bonesy today. Everybody say hi, Slim. There we go. Slim Bonesy. Slim is what I like to call a dead dude, all right? So Slim, he's dead, you know, that's part of it. Slim is a dead guy, all right? You have no idea how hard it is to find a skeleton in this city, but it's hard. Slim does not have a pulse, nor does he have a heartbeat or flesh or anything else. Actually, believe it or not, all of us are like Slim. We really are. The Bible teaches us that we are spiritually dead. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As a result of that, for the wages of sin is death. We are spiritually dead. The reality is, if we are to be spiritually dead, if we are spiritually dead, we have no hope. We have no peace. We're spiritually dead. And like with any kind of dead guy, they're buried. And sadly, we pay for our sins. If we die without a relationship with Jesus, without life inside of us, we are buried in hell. And oh, how we need life. We're dead. But you know, thank God the Bible says Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Isn't that good news today? He didn't come to send people to hell. He came to save them from hell. And that's the glory of Jesus Christ. That's the goodness of Jesus. And I think about when I was 7 years old and I prayed to receive Christ. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I didn't like my sin. And I knew that my sin was driving a wedge between me and God. And I was a dead guy. Sure, I was walking. I was a walking dead. There we go. And I was a walking dead guy. Let's see here. And let's see if I can fix those Slim Bonesy here. Here we go. All right, there we go. I was a walking dead guy. But when Jesus came into my heart, I discovered that he was the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. Since I've been a Christian, I have learned that Jesus takes away the cold, dead skeleton. And he's given me forgiveness and peace and purpose in life. He's given me an awesome Christian family. He's given me a reason to live. Jesus has given me life. And I thank God for that. Now, the problem is, when we start talking about Christians, man, we should not look anything like this. We should not look dead, dormant, because dead guys don't do anything. I mean, they're just limp. They're dead. That's what they do. But some of us like to play the church game a little bit. And we like to say, hey, I profess Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I really care for Jesus, but I'm still going to live like a dead guy. Now, some of you all, y'all have not been used to the pew here, have you? You know, some of you all are recovering pewaholics in here. And to see this brings back such awful memories, does it not? But at the same time, here's what we think. Slim Bonesy comes into church, and he sits in his pew. And Slim Bonesy thinks, well, because I'm in a church house, and I'm going to church, I must be alive. But going to church without being spiritually alive is just a dead guy in a pew. That's all it is. And somebody might say, well, you know, I'm very active in the church. I'm going to take my program, and I'm going to read my program. I might even do something. I might come, and but that doesn't make you alive. Well, some of us might say, man, if I just get my sermon notes and I take good notes, that'll help me. But it doesn't make you alive. Only Christ makes us alive. Only Jesus, not our activity, not our church attendance, not our religion. It's just dressing up a dead body. That's all you're doing. I thought about bringing a necktie, but none of y'all wear neckties anyway. Because it would make you dead because you'd suffocate. But what I know is that there are many people that do profess Jesus, but yet they never do anything for God. See, the other side of that is that, yes, doing things does not make you right with God. Jesus makes us right with God because of his blood. And the cross of Jesus that he died upon, he gives us life and breath. But the sad part is when we accept Jesus and we still just sit there. We still just sit there. And we don't do anything. And we've got life in us, but we're not doing anything. We're not helping anybody. We're not serving. It's like Robbie said in the video, we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. And we're so far spiritually from Slim Bonesy, but we look like Slim Bonesy. And that's not good. That's not good. And the reality is that as we look at the signs of life, we are not to be just some dead dude sitting in a pew. We're to be a vibrant community of faith that is helping people and loving people and reaching people and making a difference in our community. Because Life Community Church is here, we are helping the people in our community. We are helping the people in this church, that people are finding health and they are finding hope and they are finding peace in Jesus Christ. And knowing what it's like to be a healthy, as Nathan said earlier, a healthy Christian. You know, the thing is, you could be sick spiritually, or sick physically, right, Robbie? But still be healthy spiritually. Sick physically, but healthy spiritually. Over the next 6 weeks, we're talking about spiritual health, and what it means to be a living, born-again child of God, that we are doing things and serving. Every year during our campaign, God has a special thing for us, and I was telling Nathan, who him and his team, by the way, has prepared all this, have worked for weeks for the 40 days to begin. And I'll tell you what, I am very appreciative of that campaign team and all the work they've put into this. I am grateful for them. The block party yesterday, huge success. Minister to the community, amazing, 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 amazing. And how God is moving, it's just phenomenal. So I'm thankful for these awesome guys. But I really feel that this campaign is going to be about us getting healthy. And us going to the next level, a deeper walk with God, where we're not afraid to get our hands dirty. Some of y'all are thinking, man, I get my hands pretty dirty on that trailer and that cart already. How can it get dirtier? Oh, man, there's more room for dirt underneath your fingernails, I promise. And we're going to learn what it's like to serve, what it's like to be not Slim Bonesy sitting there holding a pew, doing our Sunday thing, and then we leave, but a deeper commitment to Jesus and a deeper commitment to God. Y'all ready for the next 40 days? For a deeper commitment to God? I am. I want us to read. Slim, I need my sermon notes back. Here we go. I want us to read Philippians 2, 12 through 16, which our memory verse is part of. But let's read it in its entirety. The Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Philippi, and he says this: "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose." And this is our memory verse. "Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Hold firmly the message of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run in vain or labor for nothing." Paul says that he tells that church in Philippi, he says, guys, I want you all to shine, not to look like the world, not to look like the way everybody else does, not to look like the dead coldness that's out there, but to be different, but to do something for the gospel. There's three things I want to show us this morning that the living look like. You know, Slim, you can tell he has no pulse. You check your pulse, you can tell your heart's beating. But what about your spiritual pulse? You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to take a spiritual pulse. We're going to explain what the living look like. Are you ready? Here we go. First, the living work out their salvation. The living work out their salvation. Look what Paul says. He says in the second part of verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose. Okay, Kenny, I get it. I'm supposed to work for my salvation. And if I work hard enough, if I try hard enough, if I work for my salvation, if I'm a good person, I do this, then I'm saved. I have to work for my salvation. That is not what Paul says. Paul does not say work for your salvation. What does he say? He says work out your salvation. He's implying that salvation has already been inside of you. In your role as a Christian who has received Jesus by faith, receiving Christ by faith, opening up your heart, Jesus comes into your life, forgives you of your sins. You are now letting Jesus come out of you because he's inside of you. I was doing some studying, and I learned about the Grasberg gold mine in Indonesia. I have never in my entire life studied gold mines. I don't know how many people in here study gold mines, but they're quite interesting, believe it or not. What I discovered about the Grasberg gold mine in Indonesia, it is that it is the largest gold mine in the world. Let me just give you some stats about it. The mine employs, it's located in Indonesia, it employs 19,500 people working in that gold mine. They are open pits and underground mines. They separate out the gold, silver, and copper, and then they ship them to smelters. It has produced in its history, listen to this, 610,800 tons of copper, 58,474,392 grams of gold, ay caramba, 174,458,971 grams of silver. All of that gold and silver has to be mined out of the Grasberg mines in Indonesia. But now, when the miners go down there, they don't go down there and pick and work real hard and then hoping that if they hit their axes hard enough or their shovels hard enough that they'll turn the rock into gold. Is that what they do? No. Where is the gold? It's already there. It's in the mine. What is their role? Their role is to get into the mine and what? Get it out. See, we do not need to think it's a works-based salvation. It's not. We are saved by grace and grace alone. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, he says. It's not by works a man saved. So anybody can boast. That's not how we're saved. If you're banking on your religion, your baptism, your church membership, your communion, whatever, if you're banking on that to get you to heaven and not a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you ain't got no gold in that mine. But when Jesus comes into your life and you have faith in Christ, you know what happens? There is gold put in that mine. And it's not from you. But your role as a Christian is to mine that out. Every day, not sitting there accepting Jesus and still looking like a dead guy, but every day you get off the pew, out of the seat, and you begin to let the gold of Jesus come through you. Learning what it's like every day to look a little bit more and more like Jesus, to love like Jesus did, to help people like Jesus did, to sacrifice like Jesus did. The reality is, if you are a Christian, people should be able to tell. Now, did you catch that? If you are a Christian, people should be able to tell. In the way you live, in the way you talk, the way you act, they should be able to tell if you're a Christian. So the living work out their salvation. They don't work for it. They work it out. So we constantly as believers are mining that gold. Number two, the living do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now that's our theme verse, right? Y'all going to grumble about that theme verse? Don't do that, all right? Don't grumble or argue. Look what Paul says. He says, do everything without grumbling and arguing, unless you are a Baptist. Unless you are a Baptist. All the Southern Baptists in the house, we can't do anything without grumbling and arguing. Amen? Nothing at all. I'm saved, born again, Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm here to make everybody's life a living misery. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless, the Bible says, and pure. Children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation. Hey, we don't need to stand up here and tell you how bad the world is. You guys realize we are living in a crooked and perverted generation. Y'all are with me on that, right? The world cuts themselves down, eats each other, hurts each other all the time. And Paul says this. If the world's living like that, a bunch of skeletons, you know the thing about skeletons? They're scary. This morning, I had some fun with Slim Bonesy. Gracie rides to church with me, you know, and Hope does not, my second child, and her car seat's a little bit bigger than Gracie's. And this morning, before Gracie got in the car, I put Slim Bonesy in the car. And Slim Bonesy rode to church in Hope's car seat this morning. And the whole time, Gracie's like, Dad, I don't like this. I don't like this. I said, honey, he ain't going to hurt you. I just don't like it. I said, why don't you hold his hand? She said, I ain't doing it, you know. I ain't doing it. And Slim Bonesy was riding with us to church this morning. But the reality is skeletons are scary. It's zombies are scary. They are. Woo. Can I just be honest? Them church people, scary. Them church people, scary. You come in that auditorium, you sit down, you shut up, and you act like you're in a place of reverence, blah, 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 blah. We're going to take that necktie and hang you up and kill you after the service. You better not be drinking coffee in there, because we're going to throw it in your eyes and stomp on your grave, you know. Paul says that's not how we're to live as Christians. We're not to grumble and argue. That's a sign of death. Did you know that? Not a sign of life. Grumbling and complaining and whining. My feelings got hurt, Brother Kenny. Oh, my goodness. What that person said something to me, and it just tore me up. Did you go talk to the person? Well, no. I came to you. Okay. All right. You know, it's probably a good idea for you to go to the person and work it out, right? No, that's too much problems. That's too hard. I would much rather complain to the preacher than actually have biblical reconciliation. God bless you. You're a dead dude. You're living like a dead dude. You're living like a dead dude. Hey, you know what? The Bible says, Paul says in Ephesians, he says, you shine like stars. Isn't that what he says? You know what I love about stars? They're in a backdrop of a black sky. And they are twinkling. And on a cloudless night, what's a beautiful sight, isn't it? When you get out of the city and you go to the country and you see the stars and they're shining. And you know what? If there was just one star shining, it wouldn't be as impressive. Because we see that in the city and the lights drowning out. New York City, I don't even know what a star is in New York City, but here you see every one or two. But you go out in the country and you see all of them together. And it's a beautiful sight. Can I tell you what a beautiful sight is? Is when the church is working together. And they're shining together. And you know what? They're not solo. They are team players. And you know what the thing about a team is? Sometimes somebody makes a foul. But that doesn't mean halfway through the game you just walk out on the rest of the team. right? Well, so-and-so, man, he got a technical in the game, and I'm just done. Really? What if UK played that way? What would you do? See, the reality is we must work together. And if there's somebody as a Christian and you're just like, man, I just don't like that person in our church. And I'm harboring a grudge or I'm bitter against that person, then you're acting like Slim Bonesy. Did you know that? You know, it's funny. I do a lot of funerals as a pastor. It's not the best part of my job, but it happens. And one thing I can tell you about funerals is that you go to bury Slim. What in the world is it about a funeral that makes people fuss and fight? You ever notice that? I don't like Slim's casket. I don't like Slim's necktie. Slim doesn't look natural. Of course he doesn't. He's dead. If he looked natural, he'd be alive. Pumping people full of chemicals and painting them up is not natural. I mean, really. And we complain and gripe, and then what happens? We get the family together, and Slim's son, he's alive, so we'll call him Slim Goodbody. Slim Goodbody's there, and he's mad because Sally Bonesy is there, and they're fussing and fighting. I don't want nothing to do with that person. If they're at this funeral, I'm going to leave, blah, 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 blah. And they fuss and fight over the body of Slim. You know what death does? It makes everybody fight and fuss and cuss. That's what death does. And when we are a fussing, fighting, arguing, complaining, griping bunch of sissy fine baby church, you know what you look like? Everybody just look at Slim. Look. If you're a whiner and a complainer, look right here. Some of y'all don't even want to look because you know it. If you're a whiner and a complainer, you're not shining stars. You are a grumbler. Just like the Israelites in the desert. Amen. How do you fix that? You go and you start being positive and seeing the good in things. Because last time I checked, the Bible says, for all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. Any complainers in the house today? I'm a whiner. There we go. Slim, calm down. You're getting too rowdy. Here we go. Everybody's mad at us now, Slim. We're going to get through it. High attendance day, we're supposed to sugarcoat it, right? No, not so much. Here we go. Number three, the living hold firmly, or are firmly holding, or hold firmly, if you're in the notes, living hold firmly to the message of life or Christ, one or the other, the message of life or Christ. Paul says this. He says, going towards the end, he says, hold firmly the message of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or in vain or labor for nothing. Paul says that we are to, as Christians, hold firmly the message of life. A sign of living, a sign of life, is that we hold on to the gospel. And I think this is something that's so, so important that we cannot take for granted. The reason we are alive is not because of positive thinking. It's not because of self-help. It's not because of this or that. It's simply because of the gospel. And the gospel is this, is that I am a sinner. I am spiritually dead. I cannot bring myself back to life on my own. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus, who is God in flesh, came to earth, sacrificed himself on the cross, died for me. His blood was shed for me. He died. He rose again to conquer death. And if I place my faith and trust in Jesus, I'm saved because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. That is the message of life and the message of Christ, that we need Jesus. Jesus is God. He died. He rose again. He gives us life. This is not hard. It's not complex. But the living are people that know why they're alive. They know why. They know why their blood is pumping. If somebody says, what makes you so happy? What are you smoking? I cannot tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, what are you on? I promise. Ask Taryn. It happens all the time. And I say, man, I ain't on nothing. But I've got Jesus in me. Now, does that mean that sometimes life stinks? Yeah, it does. Does that mean that I sometimes face hardship? Yeah. Am I still living in a world surrounded by death? Absolutely. That doesn't mean I won't be sad or depressed or have troubles or even temptations. I mean, I'm an imperfect person. I fail every day. If you don't believe me, ask my wife about laundry. I fail every day. But look right here. I want you to be free today. And I want you to know that I want to hold on to the message of life. Dead people let go of everything. They let go of their skin. They let go of their grip. They let go of their breath. They let go of their blood. They let go of their skin, everything. But we as the living never let go of this. You know what will kill a church faster than anything else is when they let go of the Word of God. And they start believing every little bitty thing that's out there, but not the Bible. Guys, listen. We are seeing great things at Life Community Church. But here's why. Is because we believe in Jesus and His Word. That's why. The living hold on to the message of life. They don't let go of it. You can't let go of it. You can't let go. So the signs of life are there. The signs of the living. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about five unique things that makes us not look like slim, but instead makes us look like the living Jesus. Today, I don't know where you are. Some of you all today may be in a state of spiritual death where you don't know Jesus. If you were to die today and exit out into eternity, you don't know if you're going to be saved or not. My friend, we can clear that up today. That can be settled today. But I'm a firm believer that those that don't know Christ will be hindered in their decisions if the Christians are not in tune with God. I'm going to ask just Taryn to come, okay? Not the rest of the band, because the thing about this campaign is that this is to help our church become spiritually healthy. I don't want the deacons to come in either. I want y'all to sit there too. And what we're going to do today, the campaign is all about renewal, Christian renewal. We're going to give an opportunity for those that don't know Jesus here in a second to respond to the gospel. Chris, hit the lights there. But today, talk to the Christians that should not look like slim, but are living like slim. Christian, today, I want to lead you in a prayer of renewal and recommitment, of getting your Christian walk with God back on target. Somebody that's complacent, somebody that's forgotten the Word of God. I want to give you a chance to renew your commitment. I want you to pray this with me. It's not magic words. If you already believe Christ is in your heart, I want to lead you in a prayer of renewal and commitment. Pray this to yourself. Dear God, thank you for saving me. I'm a Christian. Turn away from